You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 154 of Retired Racehorse Radio on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and Ride TV. Retired Racehorse Radio is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse. Brought to you in cooperation with the Retired Racehorse Project and New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program.
On today's episode, we chat with Jennifer Sweet, the president of the U.S. Pony Club, on the benefits of getting involved with Pony Club and how they provide opportunities to better connect with your retired racer in their second career. We get a training tip from New Vocations' own Bridget Heasley and introduce our adoptable horse of the week. Stay tuned. This is Joy Orr in Detroit, Michigan.
And this is Kristen Kovach-Bentley in Jamestown, New York, and you are listening to Retired Racehorse Radio.
And they're off on Retired Racehorse Radio, the podcast that is your guide to the adoption, care, and training of the retired racehorse.
Kristen, I feel like we have so many things going on and most of them aren't that horsey.
Yeah. I was like, what did I do all weekend? We have been hacking our porch off of our house, which is very boring. And that's like from way back in Thanksgiving when all the snow fell on it and it collapsed. So it's finally time now that it's like warmish.
I'm proud of you. I am proud of you for getting that started.
Yeah, I say we like I've done anything other than like faff around while Eric is working on it. So it's going really well.
Moral support counts.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for that. That makes me feel better. What about you?
Honestly, I continue to grow two children. It is a journey.
Someone's got to do it. Good for you.
Someone's got to do it. It's a labor of love, literally. But we are, I don't know if I shared with listeners, but if anyone follows me on social media, from the last time we recorded, my dog Tova passed away, which has been very difficult on our home. She was my companion for 10 years and kind of Zach's like first opportunity of owning a dog that he actually liked. He's only had one other dog in his whole life that he kind of remembers because he was a small child. So, with the silence in the house, we decided we need more chaos. So we're going to go look at puppies this week.
Oh, geez. I mean, I get it. Like I lost a cat probably 7 years ago and I made it like 3 days before I went and got a kitten, and that kitten is from hell. So hopefully you get a good puppy.
Yes. We did interview the breeders pretty extensively on like our needs, and we shared that we're bringing in two kids this fall as well.
That's a good thing to disclose. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, we breed for families. Like the dogs seem to have a really good disposition. They're also not too far. They're only like an hour and a half away, which is very convenient. And I know there's a lot of opportunity to do puppy adoption through rescues. So we did look at that too, but the one thing we kept in mind is trying to ensure a certain temperament since we are going to be first time parents. So please don't come at me that I'm going through a breeder. They are a responsible breeder.
No, I think like in keeping of the theme of the retired racehorses, I mean, we all know there's multiple ways to acquire an animal and there's no right or wrong way. Well, okay. There are a few wrong ways, I guess. Going through a reputable breeder is not a wrong way. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Don't steal them from other people. That is wrong. but yeah, I mean, much in the same way, like I've acquired all of my thoroughbreds and my standardbred actually through purchase. That's not to say that adoption's not a great route. It just isn't what fit us at the time. Maybe we'll adopt one someday. Maybe we'll buy another one. Same thing for you. You get what works best for you in the situation. So
absolutely. Well, I know that you have a lot of things going on with your horses. Like Shorty is going through some trials, right?
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. So let's see. We talked about his lameness workup on the last episode, and we had resolved to try what we call an NSAID trial or a Butte trial. We're using Equiox rather than Butte. So the way that works is that, if you recall from last episode, like he flexed like meh, like not super ugly, not great, like definitely like, well, joints, but the, like not enough to say like, okay, that's why this horse is loading very strangely through his body. So the root thing that we're trying to figure out is basically like, why does Shorty move the way that he moves? Because he's extremely difficult to ride. He's very wiggly. He can't hold a bend for very long. He also really cannot lift his back and engage and then like kind of unlock his head and neck from the withers forward. He'll bend at the pole. As you know, you watch the horse walk and you're like, wow, this is beautiful. Like he walks like a big jungle cat and then he trots like a sewing machine and it just doesn't make any sense. So he's like one of the harder horses I've ever ridden. And Eric has just like a saint put up with him for years, you know, and some of it's like, maybe it's like green on green. And then some of it, I'm like, I think the horse, there's just something odd about this horse. So we're going to try to eliminate all the like medical possibilities before we just try to like train him into going better, because I don't think that's fair if we've not figured out if he's compensating somewhere in his body for soreness somewhere else. So one of the ways you can do that, if there's no major red flags and flexions, you know, the flexions weren't bad enough to even merit like starting to x-ray joints. So one thing that vets will recommend is that you try an NSAID, which is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory, so bute or equiox. You do a trial of that. So for equiox, it takes a little longer to work into the horse's system to really see changes. So he's been on equiox for about a week, and we have, it's 20 days total for this particular trial. So put him on that and we ride him. We see if he feels or looks any different. So far, there's no change at all, which personally I find encouraging. That means that it's not inflammation that is a source of his problem.
Yeah.
So our next step will be some body work, hopefully by the end of the month, once the equiox has kind of left his system, so that we don't have any conflicting messages of like, well, it might have been the equiox or it might have been the chiropractic, you know. So so we're just going to kind of keep checking things off the list and just try to figure out how to get him to carry himself a little bit better. You know, I think some people would probably be like, oh, just crank him and draw reins, put him in a Pessoa, do this, do that. And I really don't want to go that route. Yeah, I would rather figure out, like, is the horse physically compensating somewhere for some soreness or being out or something? Because, you know, you look at his feet, you're like, this horse definitely loads weird. His right hind travels weird. It's not lame, but it's not right. So
yeah,
it's a fun mystery.
I love the scientific approach you're taking with this. I think that's where everyone should start, like rule out pain every time if you can. Always a chance it could be something like early neurological, I guess. I don't like to go down that road. It can get hairy because I know you and I are very similar. We're like doomsday preppers of what's the worst possible scenario.
Yeah, maybe.
But I also think a lot of like thoroughbreds especially have weak cores and weak hind ends. And it shows because they are very shoulder dominant. It's how they learn to move early on. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that's really all that it is he just has like a very weak core, maybe even has some, I'm going to say damaged muscles around supporting his core, but just with his age and the work he's been doing compensating. Might just be a bit of an uphill battle, but that's what my fingers have crossed for you.
Yeah, thanks. And yeah, I mean, it, you know, it's crossed my mind that like maybe we should swap horses for a year too, you know, and just let Eric feel what it's like to put a horse together on a more finished horse. Mm-hmm. And then I can, you know, kind of dink along with Shorty for a year and see if I can help him a bit better, just because Eric has not had the experience of riding like a really finished broke horse. You know, I've had a few years of riding other people's finished broke horses, you know, and applying that to my own. So not to say I'm some sort of, you know, professional or expert, but I have a different set of tools than Eric does. So it may be time to do a horse swap. But right now it's worked out because Eric's working late. He's in trial. So I'm riding Shorty anyway. So the timing's worked out really well. So
I love it. Well, keep us posted how it goes. I know I'll get the real time updates in our chat, but for listeners, I think it's always important just to remind ourselves, like there are ways without having to spend a ton of money right away. I know it's tempting just to get all the tests done when our horses aren't feeling their best, but I definitely recommend go at it slow if it isn't urgent. If your horse isn't clearly in
a
pain state and you're not in danger when you're working with them, take the time to just rule out one step at a time. They'll save you a lot of money, save you a lot of heartbreak, and then you don't have those questions of, was it the pain meds? Was it body work? Was it something neurological? Like a lot of those things overlap.
Right. I will say we did do like a sort of mini, we did not do a full neuro workup, but, you know, we popped him up and down the hill at the vet with, you know, head down, head up. There was nothing there to indicate neuro there. So that's very helpful. So, so yeah, we know we can eliminate that. So that's good.
That is the best news for sure.
Yeah.
Everything else we can work through. So
yeah,
I love it. Well, keep us posted and hopefully Shorty comes through with some positive news for you guys. And hopefully it's just a lot of ground poles in your future.
Easy from home to
get those set up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we rope one at the barn and we drag it out to the pasture and we work it out there. So it's definitely doable. So, exactly. So Joy, I know you always do such a lovely introduction of our premier sponsor, Kentucky Performance Products. I'm going to steal that job today.
Do it. I support.
Because... Kentucky Performance Products, I started using one of their products for Shorty once he got home from his little vacation in Kentucky to grow out some foot. So I put him on their Careform, which is specifically targeted, you know, to building strong keratin in the foot. That is where he had obviously the keratoma that was removed. We know from talking to the surgeon in that episode, that was largely for my own peace of mind, that, you know, keratomas don't happen for any particular reason that we've identified. It's not like, oh, because he had a poor foot, that's why he grew a keratoma, but he also happens to have poor feet anyway. So, you know, just to make sure that he's getting everything that he needs to continue to lay down good, healthy foot and grow out that defect, I put him on Kentucky Performance Products Careform. And he's been on it now for probably about 40 days, maybe a little longer. And I really, really like the new growth that's coming down. It looks good and strong and healthy. There's no cracks. You know, he's just really prone to surface cracks, like all the time. Really good looking growth. And I can tell that it's actually working for him. So I've decided to make that part of his, you know, permanent feed plan. So thank you, Kentucky Performance Products, for such a good product that's really helping out our horse.
Absolutely. I love Careform. I think it's a great one. So for anyone thinking about supplementing their horses, highly recommend. And we'll hear a little message from Kentucky Performance now.
This nutritional minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. One of the most common mistakes seen in feeding programs is the underfeeding of commercial concentrates. Commercial concentrates are textured or pelleted feeds that provide energy, protein, vitamins, and minerals. Some common manufacturers are Triple Crown, Nutrina, Purina. You get the idea. Every commercial feed has a minimum amount you must feed in order to meet a horse's daily vitamin and mineral requirements. For most commercial concentrates, that level is somewhere between 4 to 6 pounds per day. A lot of horses will get too fat consuming feed at that level, so owners and barn managers feed less, and rightly so. It's not healthy for a horse to get too fat. However, if you are feeding less than the recommended minimum amount to your horse, you are not providing your horse with adequate nutrition. Microphase Vitamin and Mineral Supplement from Kentucky Performance Products can solve your problem. Microphase can be added to the diet as needed to fill in the nutritional gaps. Packed with nutrients but low in calories, you can adjust the feeding level of Microphase to meet your horse's requirements. Learn more about Microphase by visiting kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
Well, I'm super excited, Kristen, for our next guest. We have Jennifer Sweet coming on. She is the president of the U.S. Pony Club. I'm sure we have listeners who are familiar with Pony Club. We probably have some who aren't familiar with it. So very excited to talk more about it and all the educational opportunities that can come with it. So welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I think before we get started into all things thoroughbred and opportunities, can you tell us a little bit about U.S. Pony Club?
You bet. United States Pony Club was founded back in the 50s. We are 70 plus years old, and we were formed primarily from a fox hunting group who had their children when they would go fox hunting, and they needed something for their kids to do, and that's basically how Pony Club came about. And we have been around for a long time. We're an educational organization, and we use the medium of the horse to teach leadership skills to adults and youth.
I think that adult point is key, right? Because like for the longest time, like growing up, I assumed that Pony Club was, I grew up in 4-H. So it was like, you know, 4-H versus, not versus, but you know, that was kind of like,
I know.
You're either in one or the other, you know, and I just always assumed that it was a youth organization. And then I heard some people, gosh, probably 10 years ago talking about adult Pony Club, but now it sounds like it's just Pony Club. It's for everybody.
Yes, we are fully integrated with adults now. I've been involved with Pony Club since 1997 when my daughters joined, and I had no Pony Club background, nor did I have a 4-H background, but I did ride as a kid. And when my daughters came of age to ride, an instructor introduced me to Pony Club, and it was only to age 18. That was it. So it was a youth organization, and that was all. And in my time here, I have seen the age limit change from 18 to 21. And then we had an adult-only program, which was called Horse Masters, which was to teach potential volunteers how to help, because we depend highly on volunteers at Pony Club. And then it morphed into much more than that. They kind of, Horse Masters kind of started to have its own standards and testings and stuff. And then it was like, why do we do this separate? We don't, why are we recreating the wheel? We have the wheel. Let's just incorporate everybody together. So it was a little bit of a trial and error to begin with, but I think we have the kinks worked out. And actually, adult membership is our highest growing membership category right now.
I love that, because I know we have several people who come later in adulthood, whether it was, you know, they rode as kids and, you know, maybe they took breaks as they were starting their careers, going to college, starting families of their own, want to get back into the swing of things. Or it was like a lifelong dream that they just had the opportunity to get involved with. So we have people come to our barn for the lesson programs. But I would just think how wonderful having something like Pony Club could be for that community and opportunity to learn as an adult.
Absolutely. It, as I said, it does teach leadership skills to adults as well as youth. Me personally, I did not grow up in a family where my mom or my dad ever volunteered to do anything. My experiences with volunteering and donating and all that comes with that came from Pony Club.
Can you come teach my employees?
Boy, don't I wish. It's hard to teach my employees.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I love that this is a thing. I love seeing that more clubs are coming open, which I know we'll get more into that towards the end. But thinking through, so with Pony Club, I love that it's become something for all. What about how thoroughbreds and potentially just retired racers in general show up? I know we've, Kristen and I have talked about, they're a very equitable horse to bring in. They are like a fixer-upper, of course, any retired racers, whether it's a standard bred or thoroughbred, you have to put that work in, but you can get a really athletic horse for a low cost. Do you see a lot of thoroughbred involvement in Pony Club?
I think it depends on the areas that you're in, but I do believe that, yes, thoroughbreds are a big piece of Pony Club. When I was looking at the questions earlier, I can think of three places where we see them more than maybe in other places. And for a trainer who maybe has an established lesson program, you might see a lot of thoroughbreds in that because they're equitable. And they have someone who can teach them to be good citizens. And then when members transition through our educational standards, the beginning set of standards are the D standards, and there's three levels within that standard. And then the next standard is the C standard, and there's three levels within that standard as well. When members make the jump between the D standard to the C standard, you really need a different kind of a horse. You don't start out with one horse typically and keep that horse all the way through, because you're progressing through the levels. And so for a lot of youth members, and I'm not so sure about adult members, although I've had a couple of off-the-track thoroughbreds that I wasn't in Pony Club with, but I did start them. And I, you know, a lower level rider, not anything in the C standard, I don't think at all. But when they transition from the D to the C level, those the expectations are starting to get higher. What the horses are required to do takes a little more education. And so I think that our members at that point start to see that. And so they start looking for a mount change. And as you said, thoroughbreds are very equitable. And then the other place that I think we see them actually is at the D level. Those older serviceably sound mounts that are just, you know, they're well broke, they're sensible, they're going to pack anything around. You're going to see some lower level kids that actually are riding those types of horses. So I think we kind of see them in those, mostly in those places.
So I want to get into the level system a little bit, because like, as my, like, this is like my lay knowledge of Pony Club is that there's a level system, and I know you have Pony Club championships. So as, you know, a complete outsider to Pony Club, what is this level system? Like, how does it work? Is it competition-based, or is it, like, knowledge-based or training-based? Like, get into that a little bit more.
It's educational-based. The standards are two-part or twofold. They're riding standards and then knowledge standards. And our competitions are not part of the standard, but when you compete, you typically will compete at the level a certification that you have. And so the D1, everybody starts as a D1. That's the very first level. And it's basically what we have referred to in the past as a kick and steer type of certification. Because from way back when we just had kids on ponies, that was basically all they needed to do was to be safe on a pony in an arena. And then there's a second level, which is a D2 within that standard, and then a D3. And each level progresses. The heights that, depending upon if you're eventing or jumping, the heights are going to change. Your expectations are going to be change at each of the levels within the standard. If you're riding a dressage, which really at the D level is more just about flat work, you know, you're each time you move from one level into the next, it increases what you need to know, and it builds upon the prior level's knowledge. And so the D level is our first set of standards, and each time you change a level or a standard, you take a test. It's a certification, and it's your riding is tested and your knowledge is tested. However, now we don't have to test it all at the same time. We could test the knowledge piece maybe the time of year when nobody's riding. I live in Washington State, and it rains here a lot in the winter, and so a lot of people don't ride in the winter. So we might focus on horse management stuff in the winter time and ride more. They'll be riding more in the summer. So they can test their tests mounted and unmounted, and then once they pass both of those, then they move to the next level. That goes all the way through our system, all the way to the A level. There's actually five levels, the D, the C, the B, the HA, and the A. And the HA is only a knowledge. It's the highest knowledge that we go, and it's really college level or higher. Those kids are testing, and they have to be proving that they're handling horses in hand, and they have to prove that they have a trainer. They can be a trainer, not just someone who's riding for fun or, you know, for enjoyment. It really is a high level of knowledge.
Okay, got it. So that helps explain that a lot better. And yeah, I like that it's, you know, not just riding based and not just knowledge based, but the two together. Yep. So I'm starting to see now, you know, where the thoroughbreds can really kind of come into the picture as a good mount for pony clubbers. And yeah, and that's the nice thing with the thoroughbreds too, right? Is that you have your fresh off the track kind of green horse, and that's a particular challenge for pony clubbers or anybody. But then, you know, you have horses that have sort of been out of the racing world and into, you know, the equestrian program for many more years, you know, and are much more finished and perhaps a better mount for those higher levels. So I love
that. Absolutely. Yeah. We also have, just as a little more information, testing in order to get your testings, there's local level testing, which goes through the C2. And then any tests above C2, which is a C3, an HB, a B, an HA, or an A, those are all national level tests. And there are far less of those than there are the D and through the C2 testings. Just because a lot of times, you know, you get married, you have children, you go away to college, and your horse things kind of wander away for a while. But the good thing about being able to be an adult and stay in Pony Club is you never lose you never lose a certification level that you made it to. You may not ride at that level if you come back in, but you still have that certification level. So you could pick up, if I had been in Pony Club as a kid and made it to my C2, if I really wanted to, I could pick up and go for my C3, my B, my HA, and my A at any age.
I love that. That's so nice to have, because like, it's not an expiration date, or if you drop your membership for a certain amount of time and come back to it, it's nice that they still have that opportunity, because you still have that knowledge at the end of the day. Oh, that's amazing. And I know we're talking about thoroughbreds too, but it sounds like really any horse can participate. I'm thinking like how great this would be even for standardbred communities. I know they're a little easier to handle sometimes than the thoroughbred side for people. So it seems like it's welcoming to any breed, truthfully.
It is absolutely welcome to any breed. And we even have Western disciplines now in Pony Club. We have English, dressage, eventing, and show jumping standards and testings and competitions. And we now have a Western, I believe it's a trail type of a competition, and Western dressage. We also offer Gymkhana and games, so the Western version of games and the English version of games. And then we have polo cross. And actually, I believe there are probably a large number of thoroughbreds in polo cross as well.
I was going to ask, where do you see thoroughbreds participating the most in your disciplines you offer?
I think primarily in the world, the English world, dressage, jumping, and eventing.
That makes sense. I know, Kristen, I think you and your husband are the only ones on the Western side in your area with thoroughbreds.
Yeah, we're probably the only ranch riding thoroughbred riders there, around here. But yeah, we're blazing the trail for everybody. It's fine.
Awesome.
But what I like about this program is that, you know, it can be intimidating, right, to get your first racer off the track and sort of embark on that transition. And it sounds like Pony Club is able to provide a lot of structure that could be really beneficial, whether it's you're working your way up the levels with that horse, or you've got that foundation of knowledge and you're now applying that to a horse, you know, maybe later in life. So yeah, I can see where these, you know, this goes hand in hand. This is just a nice way to sort of structure that horsemanship.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So like too, like the certifications, it gives people who maybe this is their first horse they're bringing along, or maybe just it already has some foundation to it, but it's needing refinement. It's another way to get a certification and have a goal mindset that isn't necessarily competition based.
Correct.
Bringing my thoroughbred along, I felt a lot of pressure. I needed to move up dressage levels and prove myself that I'm giving her everything she needs. And in truth, she just needs me to be knowledgeable of how to take care of her, how to make her feel safe, how to train effectively. Sounds like Pony Club would have really benefited me at the time.
Absolutely. It still can benefit you. You can still join.
Well, that's why I'm thinking that like we might be in your fastest growing demographic, right? Because now I'm like, okay, I've gotten that kind of like, I got to prove it, you know, out of my system. Like that was like, that was for my 20s, my late 20s, even my early 30s. And now I'm like mid 30s and beyond. And I'm like, I'm good. I'm like, I know I did it. I know I can do it. I know I did do it. I don't feel like I need to do it again. But another aspect I'd like to discuss is the community side of it too, because I think it can also be kind of lonely to be a horse person, like our age, Joy. You know, like Joy, you're at a boarding farm, but I'm not. Like it's me and my husband on family property. So like we only ever see each other.
Boarding get lonely great. Too, though. Don't let that fool you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So like this is where the concept of, you know, like because Pony Club, it's a club, right? So like you have your local chapters and they're going to be meeting and they're getting together. So yeah, can you tell us a little bit more about the community aspect and like what are things that Pony Club does together?
You bet. So there is a local level, a regional level, and then the national level. So there's three levels. And we do have an option for college students to have what's called, or adults, to have what's called a national membership. And what that means is that they don't have to belong to a club or a region. They can just belong to the national organization, but you can't start out that way. There's criteria that you have to meet in order to make that happen. It's not a very big category, but we do have that. But the community is, so the club that I'm going to say that I grew up in, even though I grew up as an adult there, and my girls started, one was 5 and one was 9 when they joined Pony Club. And we had a super family-oriented club. We used to meet once a month, and we would meet for the day, and we would include all of our horse management and all of our riding for all the different groups in that day, and we would have a potluck lunch. And so our club was super close and a very, very, very family oriented. Not all clubs are that way. Every club has a little bit different flavor. So it's just about finding the club that that fits you the best about what you're looking for. And just knowing that you have that group of people that you can rely on, whether it's parents, other riders, members, is a huge piece of having a community. If you have a problem, you know, oh my gosh, my trailer, I can't take it this weekend to get to the lessons, call up somebody in the club, and somebody, we always, always had someone that could stop and pick someone else up to make sure that they got it to the lesson. Now, other clubs meet every week. They have lessons every week, and they might do their horse management on a different day during the month, or they might do it every single time. In addition to that, at the local level, they can have competitions, which are called rallies. They're team-based. There's typically 3 to 4 riders, and then you have a stable manager that helps those that are riding. And then there are rallies that regions host, which most typically are for qualifying for championships, which is something that the national organization hosts in Kentucky. At the horse park every 2 years now, every other year. And in addition to that, the national organization offers, they call it festival, which is an educational component. So they have lots of classes that are not mounted. And then they even have, they have a decamp where you can bring your horse and come to decamp. And so all of that type of instruction happens at the horse park. And if you've never been to the horse park in Lexington before, I couldn't believe it when I saw it the first time. It's a very cool place.
We are huge fans of the Kentucky Horse Park. Huge fans of that one. I love it. I just love that sense of community and support. When I was a kid, we had a very similar barn set up where we had the potlucks, or we would do game days on Saturday, and it was all ages. Like, the kids would play your typical egg and spoon, and adults had like don't spill your wine glass racing.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. I miss those days, because sometimes being at a competitive barn, you know, everyone's so stuck on your competition scores, and you almost lose some of the fun of that partnership with your horse and learning together, because you're so focused on those results.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You're now making me think I need to like either try to get involved with my local pony club or start my own. I have a lot of spinning wheels on this right now. What would you say is the biggest benefit to our listeners of joining their local pony club?
I think that the biggest benefit is that you're going to learn all aspects of caring for your horse, or caring for horses and riding as well, because of the numerous disciplines that we offer, because of the nutrition, healthcare, vet knowledge, bandaging, conditioning, leading, lunging, conformation, stable management, competition rules. Because of all of that, I don't know where else you can get all of that in one package. So I think that's the biggest benefit, is you get it all in one package.
I love that. Okay, so listeners, now if you're fired up, you want to learn more, you want to find your local chapter, Jennifer, where do they go?
They need to go to www.ponyclub.org, And at the very bottom of that main page, you want to look at everything on the main page, but at the very bottom in the blue banner on the left-hand side, find a club or riding center. Click on that, and then I think it'll have you put in a zip code or something like that, and it'll pop up and tell you if there's any clubs within whatever radius of you that you put in.
Love it. All right, listeners, if you are now excited to get involved with Pony Club, let us know, first of all, if this inspired you, and then we will let Jennifer know as well. But all right, ponyclub.org?
Yep, ponyclub.org.
Right, perfect. I'm going to go right now.
All right.
Jennifer, thank you so much for joining us and telling us a little bit more about Pony Club. I think it is a perfect way to structure working with your retired racehorse, whether you have a thoroughbred, standardbred, Arabian, quarter horse, any of those racers. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cashel has been crafting top-notch products since 1986, designed to make your ride safer, more convenient, and downright enjoyable. From the Crusader Fly Mask, the ultimate fly mask, trusted by riders nationwide, to the Blanket Top Performance Felt Pad with pressed felt with merino fleece. It's like a spa day for your horse's back. To the beautiful beaded halters, adjustable, durable, and gorgeous. Visit CashelCompany.com today and gear up for the ride of a lifetime. Cashel, where quality meets the saddle.
For first-time horse owners and new riders, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel and Absorbeen to bring you My New Horse. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities, exclusive experiences, and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines looking for easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit MyNewHorse.com.
Well, we are back with our favorite part of the show. It's our new vocations training tip and adoptable horse of the week. And we have with us our friend Bridget from Ohio, from the standardbred side of New Vocations. Bridget, welcome back.
Hello, hello.
So we have a listener-submitted question for you tonight, which we always love. Listeners, if you have training questions and you would like to run them through the New Vocations training team, shoot me an email at kristen@horseradionetwork.com and we'll get it into the rotation. So Alicia sends us this question tonight. She wants to know if you have any tips for a sensitive-skinned six-year-old thoroughbred who's having a little bit of a biting issue. So he's turned out with a kind of rowdy group of geldings, it sounds like, and he's getting bit up a little bit. And it seems like ever since that's happened, maybe the biting has escalated, but they also are trying to take on and off fly sheets and ointment on his wounds. And it seems like it's getting to be a little bit of a problem with the biting. So what do you recommend for a biter?
Well, it kind of goes into why are they biting? And in this case, we could have multiple factors going on. Like my sensitive skin thoroughbreds that I've had a bunch of them that don't want you to touch them with a variety of things. And that's just been a game of trial and error in, you know, do they like this brush? Do they only tolerate a tiger's tongue or one of those little, like, I call it like an octopus mitt. It's like a grooming mitt with little cloth fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and just figuring that out as far as, you know, your daily work with them. But this horse sounds like there might be more at play. Either he is getting bit too much with his turnout group and maybe needs a quieter turnout group. You know, if we think it's a behavioral problem, he's biting because he's getting bit all the time and he's just done with it. Or if there also might be an underlying medical issue, either allergies or ulcers, to look into there. The easiest solution, maybe, would be to see about moving him to a group where he doesn't get as many bites and you're not spending as much time putting, you know, having to put things on his bite wounds.
Right.
You know, he could just not be defending himself well enough out there and he's taking it out on his people now.
Oh, poor guy. Yeah. And then, you know, like, I know ulcers is always like kind of the culprit, or like, you know, it's the culprit that got its fingers pointed at. Right.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's kind of ulcer behavior. And I will say, like, at RRP, we've had some really cool webinars. They're a couple of years old now. They are in our education library at the RRP.org about scoping and why it is worthwhile to scope rather than just like, just try a round of ulcer meds and see what happens. Right. Because, you know, you can have different grades of ulcers, different kinds of ulcers in different locations. And ultimately, in the long run, it is cheaper to scope and kind of target or eliminate that. You know, earlier in this episode, we were talking about all the different things we're doing with Shorty to try to figure out, like, eliminate different possibilities for why he is the way that he is. And it's kind of the same thing in a situation like this. Like, it is worth it to scope. One of the ones I remember from that webinar was, you know, someone wanted to treat the horse for ulcers and they scoped and found out it was a bot fly infestation, and a scope treating ulcers would have done nothing at all. Yeah. And the bots would have gotten even worse. So that's the kind of thing where it's like, ooh, worthwhile to scope and just make sure you've eliminated every weird possibility, because you never know.
Because horses, they will find the weirdest possible thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So yeah, stay safe. hopefully no one is getting bit or kicked. And hopefully that helps give this listener a little bit of direction for where to get started. Good luck. Keep us updated. And let us know, you know, what you find out. Cool. Thanks, Bridget. Yes. So now this episode's coming out a little bit later in June. So we're getting like a super sneak peek on adoptable horses. Who do you want to feature today?
Let us talk about Filly Wish.
I love that name.
And sorry, she is a 4-year-old filly, as you might gather from her name. And she's a little bit different than what I normally get in here at our standard bred facility. You know, we frequently get younger geldings, but we very seldom get a young mare, especially the caliber mare this is. She's incredibly well bred, Better's Delight and Rock and Roll Hanover mare. And just as cute as can be, and sound, you know, never raced, just didn't really want to do that. That was an awful lot of work for her. Very easy keeper. She's barefoot and she's super athletic. We're hoping to put her in a jump shoot in the arena here soon and maybe video that. But she walks, trots, and canters on the lunge line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very cute mover. We've got her under saddle, you know, just kind of getting her going, getting her used to carrying a rider around due to her younger age. And no, I mean, she trained a little bit to drive, but she doesn't have certainly the work experience that most of our horses have. But she's a blank slate and ready to go into a variety of disciplines, and is just super nice to have in the barn. Very, very easy. She is low in the pecking order with our herd of mares out here. So she's out hanging with the quarter horses and the field and just having the time of her life. But she could do anything someone wanted her to do.
Oh, yeah. This is, I'm watching her video now on the lunge line. So, like, first of all, like, she already lunges. She lunges, walk, trot, canter. Like, that in and of itself sometimes is difficult, especially for ex-racers, you know, this close to retirement. Like, they just don't understand what the lunge line is. Like, this horse is ready to go to work. And, yeah, this is exactly the kind of blank slate that everybody wants to have in their standard bred, right? Like,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't have people beating the door down to take her home.
They should. They should be beating the door down, because she is so nice. And I could see her doing really well in the Hunter jumper ring or the dressage ring. Just a nice, nice mare. Really great to have something like this sent into the program.
Yeah, I know. This is, yeah, you're right. This is a little different from what you normally have. So interesting that she didn't go into, you know, a breeding program or anything. Yeah. But yeah, this is the perfect horse. You have a whole lifetime to spend with her and get her going the way you want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So Filly Wish, she is on newvocations.org or horseadoption.com. Just filter easily for standardbreds and you will find her at the top of the list, ready to go home with you. She's got both leads. I'm watching this video. This is,
She looks great. Cute. And I love her build. She's like, I know she's a little bit extra right now because she's just learning to get into work. But once she really gets defined in her muscles and becomes fit, I think she's going to be a really proportionate horse. And like you said, I could see her going Western or English really easily. She's a great size for anyone looking 15-2. So it's that nice sweet spot.
And a full-bodied gal. Yeah, yes, so she'll take off your leg. Yeah,
she's a big-bodied girl.
So she's got a nice face too, a very feminine face. So get your applications in. Don't miss out. And if you are looking for a standard bred or, you know, thoroughbreds too, Bridget does both. You can reach out to her. She will help you find the right horse for you. Thank you so much, Bridget, for joining us today.
You are very welcome.
You can find our show notes and links to today's guests on the website at horseradionetwork.com. Like us on Facebook and Instagram. Just search for Retired Racehorse Radio. You can follow the network on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can find me on Instagram and Threads at The Horseback Writer. My email is kristen@horseradionetwork.com.
You can find me on Instagram at MissFitMare, and my email is joy@horseradionetwork.com. Thank you so much to our sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products, Cashel Company, and Ride TV, and to our partners, New Vocations Racehorse Adoption Program and the Retired Racehorse Project. Don't forget to check out all the other shows on the Horse Radio Network, part of Equine Network, at horseradionetwork.com. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the show as it helps us grow, and you will never miss an episode. Remember to set your goals high and love to learn from every ride.
And cow side leg.
Bye, guys.